here with Boy Oh Boy Conversations with Gray and JC. Grayson.
JC.
What's up?
You know.
Yeah, I mean, you were just sitting here for like 55 minutes, if I understand correctly.
Yeah.
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 We're supposed to record 55 minutes ago?
Indeed.
Okay. Okay, and why didn't we?
I think you fell asleep.
Apparently, I was actually just as surprised by as you. I think it seems. Don't quote me on this. It seems I was in the process of making my bed sometime about 5 p.m. Because my bed is fully stripped right now with everything on the ground. But I did. I woke up about 10 minutes ago to my phone vibrating on my face, and it was a call from you.
Indeed. I attempted to text after like 25 minutes, I think. 20, 25 minutes?
Uh-huh.
But that didn't get a response. So then, like 20 minutes after that, I then proceeded to call.
I love, too, that at some point during my sleep, I also messaged you that I was good to record.
Oh, that was during the sleep?
It was. Well, I fell asleep like a little after 5, I think, according to like my text messages that I remember. Around 5 is when I would have fallen asleep. So I guess I was in and out of sleep to have at one point responded to say I was good to record at 6.
So, well, ain't that something?
Oh, yeah. It's something. And don't feel like this is a Grayson thing. Don't feel like this is a Boy Oh Boy thing, audience. I also slept through therapy as well on Tuesday. You know, the reason we changed the recording day for the podcast. And that one comes at a price tag of $100+ when I sleep through it, so...
Oh boy!
I may as well not have even gone to work that day. However, I will say I learned this. Oh, you know what? Only a little bit before my sleep earlier today, my therapist finally did reply, and she said she would waive the fee because this was my first time ever missing a session in like the year and a half I've been seeing her for therapy. So that was nice, you know.
That is kind of her. Yeah.
Very kind. And now I have to make sure it never happens again. Doesn't seem like I'm on a good trajectory.
Probably not, yeah.
No. But basically, if you'd like a little recap, JC, why are you so tired? Why are you so tired? I'd say like a lot of the usual, but just the usual is worse, you know? Like, I think
it is last it week... like the change up a job that's making it worse?
Yes, exactly. The days are just, it's just, they combined two units, they've not lowered. Like, they've combined the two units, and it's gone horribly. And it's just made every day at work just the worst. So, yeah.
Is there, like, specific stuff that's been horrible about it, or is it just the increased exposure to working with the psychotic patients?
I would say it's definitely increased exposure, right? Because now instead of, like, maybe once a week, it's every day, right? But mm-hmm. I'd say what makes it uniquely bad in this scenario is that they combined my unit, which is mood disorder, with the thought disorder unit, which is the psychotic one. And so now it's like instead of each unit being hovering around like 10 to 20 patients, this one is pretty solidly locked in at like 30 to 35 patients because now we've expanded the criteria for people to make it onto the unit, right? Mm-hmm. And... it's really disheartening because I meet a lot of people that were shoo-ins from my old unit on B, the mood disorder one, where it's like, oh, they would have greatly benefited from a stay here. And now because the environment is so tense and chaotic, they do anything but get better. They get worse because it's so tense and chaotic. They isolate and they don't come out of their rooms. Valid. That's kind of what I predicted. And then after like a really violent or like extreme event happens, everyone requests to leave. So
I think that's probably fair for them to do that.
Absolutely. So it's almost everything I feared and thought makes no sense about all this is occurring. And also one thing I didn't expect to be so bad about it is what you would think this sounds good on the surface is we are properly staffed. So like for 30 plus patients, that requires a lot of staff. Whereas usually you might have like two techs and a nurse or two techs and two nurses, that kind of situation. With 30 plus patients, you have three nurses and you have 5 to 6 techs, you know? Perfect. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Properly staffed even. But the thing is, when the team gets that big, no one's communicating. There's no communication on a team that big, because how can you? Everyone's so busy in their own world, putting out their own little fires, that I have no idea what's happening. I don't know like half the patient's names, you know? It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And it just, it makes it a completely stressful and unfulfilling job. So that's been my past week.
Any inclination that they're going to change it back?
No, they're definitely not changing it back, because we've just finally today got our first group of adolescents at the hospital. So they can't change it back at this point. But what I was told initially is not that they're combining the units, but that they were getting rid of the psychotic unit. You know, that's how it was initially pitched to me. And mm-hmm. it has been not that in practice. And so I've been struggling a lot this week, and I'm like, I know already I can't maintain this, right? Like, mm-hmm. I am in this job and pursuing mental health because, like, ideally I'd like to, like, help people, you know? It's cool to be part of, like, the counseling profession, and this feels like anything but that. It feels like I'm actively contributing to something that makes people way worse. And I don't just want to outright up and quit with something that's been different for a week, you know? But I also mm-hmm. know that if this is where I'm going to be at going forward, and like almost every single day I'm on this unit of 30 plus people, where half of them are going through psychosis and the other half are detoxing or suicidal, it's just not, I'm not going to last. I'm going to have a breakdown before at some point. And so I was thinking, like, okay, well, what is the solution here? There is going to be the adolescent unit. And now finally that does exist. Finally, they had the first kids come onto the unit yesterday. So there's a chance that maybe I fucking love that. Maybe I work the adolescent unit and it's awesome, you know? But mm-hmm. I wasn't trained on the adolescent unit. They picked some different techs that are going to be the ones like to lead and run all that. And I'm sure I'll be over there, right? But it's not my home unit. You know, it'll be occasional if I'm over there. But, you know, again, maybe I will love that. And then the only other option is the women's unit, where they don't have men work, like, because it's for the most part all sexual trauma cases for admission to the women's unit. But in my head, when I think about what I want to do and why I'm in this job, it's I want to become a counselor. And by far the unit that lines up best with the whole counseling career is the women's unit. They actually just got a whole new director, and like a revamp to their structure, where there's like a lot more groups, like therapy groups led by the techs, which is my position. And everyone over there is like coherent, you know, they're oriented to what's going on. So I asked the two techs that are over there like every day, that I'm friends with, like, hey, do you think it's even a remote possibility that like I could end up working on the women's unit? And they both seemed like really like cool and excited about it, but like cautiously so, where they're like, I don't know if they'd let you, or I don't know if this person would be okay with it, and blah, 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 blah. And then, but they pointed me in like the direction of like people above us that I could like ask instead. And then yesterday after work, I pulled aside the house supervisor, like the person in charge of all the nurses. And I love her. She's great. She's awesome. Like, she's probably one of the people above me that I'm closest with. Mm-hmm. And so when I told her, she seemed real excited by the idea and, like, was like, I will advocate for you, like, to be able to do that. And then I got real excited. And then today I talked to her boss a little bit about it, because she was passing through the hallways and we had, like, a little bit of, like, opportunity to have, like, a one-on-one conversation, the director of nursing.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, the house supervisor I spoke to yesterday, the one who said she would advocate for me, had already talked to the director and, like, pushed for it and, like, talked to her about it, which is so nice, you know? Like, within a day, she'd already done that. But the director did not seem so on board with it and was like, well, it's a transition and we're not supposed to be having as many acute patients and this is just a transition period and maybe we can revisit it in 2 weeks. So I don't think that's going to happen, just based on how the conversation went.
I mean, it's worth sticking it out for the 2 weeks, though, right?
I mean, yeah, like if what she says is true, it is that the hospital is going to be a bit pickier with who they can admit, and we're going to get away from being a PICU, being away from a psychiatric intensive care unit, meaning we will not accept psychotic patients or super aggressive or homicidal patients anymore, right? And again, that's what they told me it was going to be from the get-go. They told me they were just moving my unit, you know, not combining units. But they have continued in the past week to admit psychotic and aggressive patients. We have someone we just admitted last night who tried raping one of our admissions directors. And so it's like that's about as violent as you can be. And it's happening here, like we are seeing it and witnessing it, not just hearing about it. And so, like, I love what you're saying, director. That does sound awesome, but we're not doing that, you know? Like, I get it's a transition, but theoretically, the transition is because we're waiting for all the psychotic and aggressive people to discharge. But if we're still in real time admitting more people who meet that criteria, that's not a transition. So, yeah, I'll give it the 2 weeks and then I'll revisit.
Have you considered applying elsewhere?
Yeah, I've applied to a bunch of jobs this week.
That's probably
So,
the move.
yeah. I mean, but I think about when it was my full-time job to apply to jobs, I was barely getting any responses, you know? Like, it took months. So I can't imagine how long it will take when I'm also falling asleep every 5 minutes once I'm home from work.
Probably gonna work against you a bit. But like, you just gotta keep at it, you know?
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. But yeah,
You always come work at GameStop.
yep, that is a potential. I don't know why they would take me. I don't have any leanings, nor history, nor inclination toward finance. Sorry, video games. I hate them, in fact. But maybe.
At least it would be a change of pace.
So true. But yeah, I think working the women's unit could be cool because I always hear complaints about it, and the complaints are always that it's so needy, like the patients there are so needy, and that like it's annoying to run all the groups. I love running groups. And if someone's needy, then I listen, then I can try to provide help, you know? But what am I going to do with a patient who's isolating because they just tried killing themselves? Now they're in a mental hospital. And literally, Grayson, today, the end of my shift, this happened about 20 minutes before all my people on my shift had to clock out and the next people came on. One of the patients, I actually had a different story about the same exact patient that I was going to tell you, already written down on the boy oh boy list from earlier in the week. Do you want to hear the story from today first or the story from earlier in the week?
Let's do the story from today and then revisit the story from
Okay, it was a
earlier.
cool story from today. He was in the day room, like the main common area of the unit. He pulled down his pants, shit on the floor, started eating it, covered himself in it, and started wiping it all over the walls of like the entire unit. And like refusing to cooperate or like go back to his own room. So
Cool. So what happened
that's a.
earlier this week?
Oh, what happened earlier this week is we were just walking down the hallway, me and another one of my coworkers, and he stopped my coworker and said, "It just kind of sucks. It just kind of sucks having a J name." My coworker asked him, "Well, why?" And he said, "It's just that J names are sort of gay." And because I'm right there, I said, "I have a J name." And he looked at me, and with all the sincerity in the world, he said, "Are you straight?" And I told him, "Yeah, yes, I am." And then he was like, "Well," and then just walked away from me. This patient is just in his own world all the time, to be clear. But I feel,
He's kind of got a point though, so.
yeah, no, and I it's something that I without the merging of the units, something I would have never encountered, and I'm glad I have encountered that idea in position, because now, well, I have to reckon with it, you know? But yeah, then today he's the one who decided to eat his shit, if you remember that story, the first one I told.
Yeah, I remember. One of them is a much worse story. I kind of wish I had started with the other one.
Yeah, that's kind of why like I said it, but just I should have more properly like tried to segue from one into the other. It felt like it could have been really, really natural, but instead I hopped right into the shit eating.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
It happens. Sometimes that's what you do, is you jump right into the shit eating.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, then the whole thing too about me sleeping through therapy was bad. That gave me a little mental breakdown because, well, what sucks so bad is I woke up. I fell asleep right when I got home from work. And then I woke up at 7:12 p.m. So I slept for about 3 hours unintentionally. And the first thing I thought was, oh fuck, my therapy. And I, but you know, most cancellation stuff is like 15 minutes into the session, right? Like you have a 15-minute kind of grace period to show up. So I check my email, and she one email, she's like checking on me to be like, hey, are you coming to session? And then the next email is like, I'm going to be staying online until 7:10. So I woke up 2 minutes after 7:10, and I messaged back being like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I just woke up. And then the next message is like, I'm really trying to avoid a cancellation fee. Is it possible we can still, I can still join the session? And then my next message was, I'm in the waiting room in case it is an option, sad face. And then I sat there for about half an hour and she was never there. But that's not on her, that was on me. Yeah. So.
Devastating.
Yo, yeah, no, I know. Oh, I know, because that means I slept through all the homework I was supposed to do. Today, thankfully, no homework that I slept through. Today, what I slept through was making my bed and washing my hair, which we will get to promptly after finishing this recording.
Did you fall asleep on your bed still, though?
Yes, on my stripped bed.
Okay. I was
Yeah.
trying to understand mechanics if you had like fallen asleep in the blankets and stuff that you stripped off your bed, or if you were on the naked bed.
It was the naked bed. Like my mattress topper is still on there. You know, we're not washing that. But it's just the mattress topper in my body on top of, well, the mattress.
No clothes? You were stripped too?
Oh, I guess if I were to consider that, yeah, I do have on shorts, boxers, and a tank top. Oh, and socks. Did I mention I'm wearing socks?
Important consideration, yeah.
Thank you. But I mean, if you're a real boy, oh boy, you know I never take my socks off, not even for the shower. So,
True dat.
thank you. I appreciate
JC's
it.
a never nude, but just for his feet.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it's time we remind people, you know? I know how many
This
new
is a serious
listeners.
question, JC.
Okay.
Has Brandy ever seen your feet?
Yeah, because we go to Schlitterbahn, you know? And while I am a never nude, the one exception to that is Schlitterbahn. There, I do wear my clogs, to get from point A to point B. But then once you're in the water, the clogs, well, they'll make you float upside down, and I don't want that, so I have to take them off. But
Naturally.
they're not a sight to behold. You know, like I don't want to really talk about this because it already makes me feel gross, and we were just talking about people eating shit, so it's just a lot of gross things back to back. But like my family kind of has gross feet. Like my dad and my sister both have bunions, and it's really disgusting. And I don't like the thought of it. I don't, fortunately, but
I can tell in your voice you're getting more grossed out by this than the shit eating.
listen, I don't have to eat my own shit, but I do have to have my own pair of feet. You know what I mean?
And it's that devastating to have them attached to you.
Yeah, like I don't like them. They have hair on them. Like, I have hair on my hands. Like, I literally have hair on, like, toward the tips of my fingers. Not, like, on the tip, but, like, below the fingernail. Like, on that middle section of knuckle. You know what I mean? On your fingers. I have little patches of hair on every finger. That's gross. I don't like that. And literally, it's the same as my own feet. Like, there's hair. And then, in the past, I've shaved it. And then I'm like, and for what? Why would I do this? Now it's just going to be itchy.
And then you have to touch your feet to scratch it.
It's true. And also, it hurts to shave your feet. I don't know what that's about, but it hurts. It's like the only
Would
part
you
of my body
feel
that hurts to shave.
more comfortable with like hooves?
Nubs. Nubs, I think.
Well, that's what I was trying to get at with like the hooves thing. I think that's the closest that you can get to a nub while still being able to walk.
So you want it to be like a nub, but like a f just flat at the bottom.
Yeah, that way, so like maybe you keep the ankle, but you take off most of the foot part. And so it's just kind of a lump attached to your ankle.
Maybe wheels is more what I'd benefit from. Like just some wheels down there. You know what I mean? Like roller skates always.
Well, at that point, why not just chop off your feet and go around in a wheelchair?
Because I could chop off my feet and go around on roller skates.
Would that work though?
I don't know. There's only one way to find out.
I guess so.
It's only the one. So I'll try to. I just a lot going on right now in my life where I don't know what time I'm going to have to experiment with all that, but I'm hoping in the next 7 days I can accomplish it.
Yeah, it's probably better that you do it while you're still young and can like relearn to get around.
Yeah, and then maybe I'll like goad a patient into doing it. You know what I mean? And then that way I can get workman's comp. And I'm
Hey,
gonna be surrounded
oh,
by
I
a
thought you were
medical team.
saying like get the patient to try it out first as like a test
No,
run
I'm gonna get the patient a saw
to
and
chop off your
just
feet.
sit there with my legs out. Yeah. And then again, I'm gonna be surrounded by medical professionals, and then I'll be able to probably get workman's comp. I hope.
I suppose. Maybe.
Again, like I just said, only one way to find out.
Yeah, no, it's just something it seems you got to test the theory more than anything else.
I think the first step of that is buying a saw and then like planting it on a different coworker. You know what I mean? Like maybe someone from the IT department.
Okay, but would anyone actually believe someone in the IT department would have a saw?
Ooh, I thought you meant because they're notorious liars at first. I'd maybe, okay, maybe the maintenance director guy. Our maintenance man quit, so I'd have to go straight to the director of maintenance. And plant it on him.
That could work.
Yeah.
Maintenance may have a saw.
Yeah. So I'll probably do that one. That one's a safer bet. But IT also goes around with a lot of like, equipment. I don't know necessarily if they've got a saw, but they got a lot of equipment because they're like doing wires and getting into the ceiling, you know? Oh.
I struggle to think what utility a saw would have for IT.
Yeah, no, it's fair. Like, it definitely is more a maintenance issue. And this would be a lot easier that we have a maintenance guy still at the hospital. But it's th these are the hurdles we run into when we're trying to accomplish our goals, you know? And that's okay. We have to persevere. But yeah, the maintenance guy left. One of my favorite therapists left. One of the doctors left. That's all been in like the last 3 weeks, and they've not hired anyone to fill those gaps. So, yeah. But I'll be back there tomorrow.
Yay! Let's move
Woo.
on to brighter topics. Looking at your list, I see, is it suicide to decide to enter hospice?
Oh yeah, so basically 21 Pilots has a new album out. Sorry for bringing that up to everybody. I should have put a trigger warning out there, but 21 Pilots, they have a new album. And one of the songs I was listening to like on loop the other day because at first I was like not the most into it, But then the more I listened to it, I started to really very much enjoy it. So I just sat there for about like 90 minutes working on some tattoo design with the same song looping over and over. And the song is about his grandpa who passed away. And the specifics aren't really out there about how his grandpa did die, but the song is really heavily like implying that his grandpa like committed suicide. But I with an old person, I feel like the probably more accurate interpretation of that, and just based on like a lot of the, again, like the lyrics of the song, it seems more like he was, I don't know, dealing with some terminal illness, and instead of deciding to like fight it, he just chose to enter hospice. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then that kind of sprung for me, or brought up for me, the question of like, well, is that suicide in a sense? I can't really tell.
I think I'd opt on the side of no.
Uh-huh.
Like, medically assisted suicide, like, is a thing. But they're intentionally trying to cut short your life.
Okay.
Hospice is more like, we're just not trying to lengthen your life anymore.
Uh-huh. Agreed. But ultimately, you're still choosing to shorten it, right? Like, the end result is the same. Maybe there are different reasons motivating it, like...
No, what I'm saying is that it isn't choosing to shorten it. It's choosing not to elongate it.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think there's a distinction there.
Okay. And so why is the choosing not to elongate it? Why does that get a different distinction, do you think? Like, why does that fall in a different category?
Because you're just letting it run its course.
Uh-huh.
You're not making an intervention to make it shorter.
I see. Well, the song is about, well, his family reckoning with that, you know? And it's, I don't know, I really enjoy it. It's called Cottonwood. It's quite lovely. How are you feeling topic-wise for this podcast this week, Grayson? You got some content, or do you want me to read off every lyric from the song?
Oh, please don't.
Okay.
There's so many things that I would rather do.
He talks about how he doesn't condemn his grandpa, you know?
JC, did you get the big announcement from Donald Trump?
The big announcement?
The big announcement.
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
That was one of the big announcements, but that's not the... Well, actually, that was part of the big announcement that I'm referencing, but that doesn't really sum up the big announcement. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that was my takeaway. I watched the whole thing, and that's what I came away with.
Would you care to repeat it for us all?
Oh, the big announcement from the president?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to provide some context here. He gave this announcement in the context of a really big celebration with a lot of fireworks and smiles. He said, nothing what? Bad can happen. It can only good happen. Or was it? It's a separate interview. Was he on stage at Charlie Kirk's memorial when he said this?
I don't believe so.
Aw, damn. That's a shame. Well, then I guess nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen was in the aftermath of the announcement.
I think it was connected to the announcement he made when the day prior he said, tomorrow we have a big announcement. I don't want to spoil it. But then immediately spoiled it and said that it was an announcement about autism.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I saw a bunch of like people making wrestling graphics for it. That there was going to be a big autism announcement. And it was cool. That is cool. It is good. There was a big autism announcement. Would you like to get to it?
Did you catch what the big autism announcement was?
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen. I've already said it 5 times.
It's that acetaminophen causes autism.
Uh-huh. Tylenol, if you will.
Yeah.
So don't take it when you're pregnant.
GC, did your mother take acetaminophen or Tylenol while
my
she was
mom
pregnant?
Pops. My mom took so many acetaminophens throughout her life that she can't take them anymore because they so fucked with her health. Like she would take like 7 or 8 like a day. I mean, honestly,
GC,
probably, yeah.
I have devastating news.
Well, yeah. No, my mom really truly like up until a couple years ago when she went to the doctor and they were like, your blood is real fucked up. And then they realized pretty quickly it's all the Tylenol and ibuprofen she takes on like a daily basis. It's usually ibuprofen, to be fair. Like basically it was having no effect on her because she was just taking it so much. So no
That's
more
probably an excessive amount.
acetaminophen for my mom, the doctor says, and well, she listened. No more.
However, when she was pregnant with you,
Oh, well, the damage was done, yeah.
irreparable damage, some might say. Well,
So,
darn. Sorry
I
about
mean,
that.
I don't know if it's irreparable. Didn't they say that there's a cure?
A cure for autism?
Yeah, I believe that was part of what RFK said. I really didn't read about it because they just didn't care. But something about a cure, which I'm a big fan of. I'd love a cure for a neurodevelopmental disorder.
It seems like the sort of thing that you can cure.
Yeah. A lifetime worth of brain development in a certain direction.
Just take the right pill.
The right pill. You're
Yeah.
speaking truths on many levels there, Grayson. But yeah, I thought the big autism announcement happened at the Charlie Kirk celebration. Did he just tease it at the Charlie Kirk celebration?
Probably.
Ah, that's a shame. That's a damn shame. I really thought the Tylenol announcement was then. Well.
Will's coming up this weekend, which is exciting, but you're going to be in San Antonio.
I'll be in San Antonio for Saturday, yeah. I'll be back on Sunday, but I'm going to be back after Will's already left Austin, which is tough,
This
you
makes
know?
sense.
Will never even reached out to me about this weekend, I don't think. Maybe he did, and
It's
I just
probably
don't remember it, but.
because after I talked to you about it, I let him know, like, hey, JC's going to be out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow.
He gets in at 6, so I
Tomorrow?
probably won't be available, but you can still maybe hang out with him.
No, I won't be available either. I made plans with Brandy and two of our friends.
Oh.
Yep. Sorry about that.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask about that is Will is staying at Steven's place for all of it, and I still haven't seen Steven's new place.
Oh,
Have you
yeah.
seen it?
I was there, but there were boxes literally everywhere.
Did you go over there to play the wrestling game?
Yeah. And this was like almost 2 weeks ago at this
Okay.
point. It was like 2 Fridays ago or 2 Saturdays ago. I didn't go over last weekend because I was too busy. And then I think the day that I was supposed to, I said, Steven, how do you feel about the wrestling game today? And I just don't think he ever responded, and I ended up falling asleep anyways. So even if he had responded, it would have been bad news because I'd passed out. But I point is I've been there.
That's good.
Yeah.
That was something I was curious about. I'm mostly curious why you needed photos of me. A photo of me.
Oh, for the wrestling game?
Yeah, can I get more context on that?
Yeah, well, I messaged you and Chargle, I believe it was yesterday, asking for photographs of the two of you from 2016. Or what did we say? When you were 16 and when Chargle was 12, we tried doing the math. A lot of that heavy lifting for you guys. Because, well, Steven and I are about to start a brand new save of the wrestling game. We've been playing the same one for about 2 years now. And we're going to start a brand new save. And the save is taking place, well, in 2016. So, of course, we can't use like modern day photos of you guys.
That would just be silly.
Yeah. So, you'll be wrestling on Steven's roster, I believe, again. And I think I have Chargle on my roster.
You don't even know?
Well, no, because at first it was going to be me and Steven as 16-year-olds wrestling. And Steven changed it because I think he really wanted you on his roster.
I
So
think rightfully so.
instead of having you, me, Chargle, and Grayson, because then at that point it's like, why not add Hans and Bim? But then at that point it's like, well, now this is just what we're veering so far into fantasy. This is supposed to be serious role-play wrestling game. You know what I mean?
Is also basically a recreation of Cowards and Welcome at that point.
Exactly, and that's not what we're going for. We're going for SmackDown versus Raw 2016. And so we did officially, I think earlier today or yesterday, pick who was going to run our companies, like from behind the scenes. And this is not like a person that'll be on screen ever. This is legitimately just the person who in the video game is financing everything and doesn't really ever show up. Steven's current one is Bad Bunny, and mine is billionaire owner of the Jaguars, Shahid Khan. But when we rewind to 2016, mine is going to be Killer Keemstar, and Steven chose iDubbbz, which is exciting.
That explains the other headshots, yeah.
Yeah, I'm much more excited about Killer Keemstar being around in 2016. You know what I mean? I feel like that was a much better pick. He seems like the financier type.
Does he?
Yeah, I think he funds a lot of shit. Like the
Does he?
Lolcow podcast. He like pays YouTubers to make videos. Yeah, I think he's like very hands off with content creation at this point. And he's like he just runs the businesses. You know what I mean?
I didn't know any of that.
I think that's my understanding. I haven't consumed a piece of content involving Keemstar since I was probably 15 years old. You know what I mean? So I don't I'm not speaking from a place of confidence or authority, but this is my general understanding. Like that podcast Lolcow Live, that's run by Keemstar. I know that.
What is that podcast? I don't know what that is.
It's a podcast run by a bunch of lolcows, and I think once they lose relevance, they replace the host with a new lolcow. But like Boogie's on it.
Oh.
Boogie2988. I've never w listened to Lolcow Live. I'm only vaguely aware of its existence. But part of that awareness is that Killer Keemstar runs it.
Can you think
Look.
of anything else he run? I'm gonna look up other stuff.
Okay.
What
I bet he like got
does
really into crypto.
Killer Keemstar own?
A house? I do believe.
He owns Drama Alert.
Yes. We know that one. Let's get right.
And that's all the Google AI overview told me.
What an extensive list.
It didn't
Well,
even include the Lolcow podcast.
let me ask ChatGPT instead. It probably knows a bit more than Google, if I had to guess.
Obviously.
What does Keemstar own and run and finance in 2025? Searching the web. I wasn't able to find any fully verifiable public records confirming everything Daniel Keem owns, runs, or finances. But here's a summary. Drama alert. Lolcow Live. Keemstar Trading Limited, a company based in India. It's unclear what this company does. He expressed interest in acquiring Creator Clash IP this year after Creator Clash 3 was canceled, publicly expressing he wants to buy the IP rights of the influencer boxing event. So it was about the it was pretty much the stuff that I knew already, in addition to this company in India.
Which it doesn't seem like anyone knows much about that company in India, so.
I'm gonna ask ChatGPT for more about it. Tell me more about this India company.
East Indian Trading Company.
Here's what I was able to find about Keemstar Trading Limited India, which raises some questions because much of what is publicly recorded doesn't directly tie it to Daniel Keemstar Keem. But here are the facts and the ambiguities. The full name is Keemstar Trading Limited. I have their corporate identification number if you'd like that.
No, I'm good.
They registered as a company on September 28th of 2016. So, oh my gosh, is it the anniversary coming up? It is registered in Kolkata, West Bengal, India. Oh, and I have their address.
Very helpful.
Their capital is in a currency I don't quite understand. What do they have in India? Which country is rupees?
India.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to guess this is 500,000 rupees. I don't know what that equals in USD. They're a non-government company, thank God. Honestly, I could
5,000 Indian rupees equals about 5,700 bucks.
Okay, so they're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
It says that they're like an other wholesale and trading company, which I could see Keemstar being involved in. You know, like the dropship, alpha male, like scam, pyramid scheme of 2020, 2021. I could see Keemstar trying to get in on that.
Okay, when I originally heard the name, I thought it was like Indian stock trading.
Oh, no, I think not that.
The Indian stock market is a crazy place, JC.
Tell me about it. Is Keemstar involved?
Probably.
Okay. No, I think this is more like Oriental Trading Company. You know, like that magazine you can order from, the catalog? Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense. I don't know why my head was there. But
I want to hear about it. It must be there for a reason.
Well, the Indian stock market's crazy because most of their companies are obviously worthless, right?
That's the obvious is strong.
They're obviously worthless.
Okay.
And by that, I'm not saying, like, there aren't good companies in India. I'm saying, like, you ever watch Wolf of Wall Street?
Yes, I told you this when I was 12 with my grandparents, and I expressed to them, I don't think this is appropriate, and they had us watch it anyways, and there was a lot of drug use and sexual content.
Do you remember when he was selling the pink sheets?
No, I was 12.
Which were like, well, and part of the movie is selling these pink sheets, and the pink sheets are basically for small companies that can't get listed on a stock exchange. And the reason they can't get listed on a stock exchange is in part because they're small, but also because they're typically fake companies. They're shell companies. They're companies without real assets. They're just nonsense companies. They're bogus. We have mostly weeded out a lot of that and the trading of a lot of that in the U.S. through a lot of regulation. India does not have that in their stock market.
Good.
At all. And so it's hugely, hugely speculative. They also don't have a particularly regulated derivatives market. Derivatives are things like options. Their derivatives market, basically purely speculative contracts, is larger than their actual stock market. So the bets made on their stock market account for more of the investment in that country than the actual stock market. It's a wild place.
It sounds this way. Yeah, my memory of Wolf of Wall Street is Margot Robbie. This is probably why there shouldn't have been a 12-year-old watching it, because this part is what's burned into my head, is her like teasing Leonardo DiCaprio by like spreading her legs and like pretending to touch herself, but insinuating that he can't touch her anymore because even though they're a couple, he's a bad husband and that he doesn't get to have sex with her anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. I forget the parts about the Indian companies.
Well, there are no parts about the Indian companies.
But there was a lot to learn about the Indian companies from the movie, you're saying?
Well, there was just a good parallel in that movie.
Oh, okay. Ah, shit. But, okay, it's the Wild West. Which does lend to the theory that Keemstar might be involved.
Most likely involved, is what I'm hearing.
That's awesome. Good for Killer Keem. I hope
he's doing better. And the drop-shipping side is just a front for their poor business and investing decisions.
Aw. But it's good. Obvious, the poor decisions, they're literally worth $5,700.
And they're making mad money over there.
Yes. That's more than a lot of people can say. Okay? It took me like 6 months to make that much money with my action figure business when I was in high school. And they've only been around since 2018, Keemstar Trading Company, okay?
You know, that's a fair point.
I'm just asking for some
grace. I failed to consider the logistics there.
Yeah. By the way, I cut my hair. I don't
Did you?
know. Yeah, I chopped off probably like 6 or so inches. It's back up above my shoulders, and I enjoy it a lot more. It's not as much weighing down my head, so it's a lot more voluminous and bouncy and just lighter. I really like how it came out. I think my hairstylist did a great job. The past 2 times I went to her, I left being like, okay, this looks good. And this time I left being like, oh my God, this looks so good. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to do
But the
any
real
coke this
question
time.
is, have any of them been better than the haircut I gave you?
You mean the trims?
Yes.
See, it's all subjective, you know? Whenever I would leave your apartment with a haircut, I don't recall getting a bunch of compliments on my hair. You know what I mean? Like, I don't th but that's we never went so drastic for people to really notice, you know?
It's messed up.
Yeah,
I gave you
but
the best haircuts of your life, and I don't even get recognition for it.
I have very positive memories attached to it because the blueberry muffin milkshake from P. Terry's we got right after one of those haircuts. I miss it.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, oh, I know. I miss it dearly. But no, I cut my hair, and everyone at work was actually like very so kind, and a bunch of people were bringing it up and like, oh, did you get your hair cut? And I thought it was so weird on my first day back. It wasn't even just like my coworkers I see every day, because only like a few of them said anything. But literally, like 3 of the 5 directors of the hospital noticed and said something to me, which was so nice, so kind of them. And then toward the end of my shift, one of the people I did orientation with, she came up to me and she was like, "Oh, you cut your hair." And I was like, "I did." And then she looked at me. Well, I think she was about to say, "Oh, it looks so," and then she stopped herself and she asked me, "Do you like it?" To which I said, "Yeah, I think so." But it really knocked the confidence out of me. It took the wind out from beneath my wings and my sails, left me deflated and drowning, Grayson. Because why'd she have to ask if I like it? You know?
Yeah, I was trying
Like,
to think of a
do
way
you
to
like
like
it?
think about that and swing it of like, oh, maybe she wanted to make sure that you like it before complimenting it. But why would you do that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I'm feeling down on it, still compliment it. That could shift the momentum. If I'm feeling good about it, compliment it. That'll boost my momentum. But it's okay. She's like middle-aged and conservative, so I'll brush it off for now. I'll bounce back. You know what I
It really
mean?
makes you re-evaluate the fact that the directors noticed, though.
Ooh, like maybe they noticed for not the best reasons.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck. One of the directors is my absolute favorite. Her name is Chloe. She's our director of risk management. She's our age, and she's making so much money because she is a director there. But she's always just a mess. She's always just a ball of nerves, like just walking her way through the hospital. And you can hear her shoes from a mile away.
I think I'd be a ball of nerves too if my job was risk management and multiple of my employees are constantly at risk of getting raped. So.
Yeah, she's a little on edge. She's the one person with access to the cameras in the hospital. She also, one of her responsibilities, I think she elects to do this one, is making the newsletter every month. And my favorite thing is going through the newsletter because there are always so many typos and just very basic graphic design errors. Like this month that I won Employee of the Month, that I was awarded Employee of the Month, I guess I should say. There's also a section for birthdays, and this is the September newsletter. And right in big letters at the top of the birthday section, it says May birthdays. And every birthday is like 9/5, 9/6.
Gonna throw this out there, JC. Have you considered offering to her to take over the newsletter?
I legitimately did during orientation. Like, 'cause she was like, if anyone wants to get involved or help, like, let me know. And then she never really followed up with me about it. And also, I'm gonna say right now, I'm gonna guess I don't have the capacity to help.
Well, my thought is if you can do that during your work hours, that would at least take you
Ooh.
away for a few hours, right?
Chloe, let me sit with you and make the newsletter. Yeah,
Yeah.
maybe. Honestly,
So, like,
I'll
it
ask
could
her
be a
about
thing
it.
worth following up on, because, like, you have
Get me
graphic
out of
design
this
skill,
goddamn
you
hostel.
have an understanding of the English language that would probably prevent labeling a bunch of September birthdays as May.
To be clear,
You got the skill
she
set.
speaks English language perfectly. It's, I believe, her first language. I don't think she was like she mistakes May and September. I think it was just, she's got a lot going on to be rereading every word. But I loved it. The color for the September newsletter was green, and that's the one that I'm Employee of the Month on, so it's my favorite color.
Whoa.
I know. I know, it's pretty exciting. But yeah, I think realistically what happens is in 2 weeks when I reconvene with the other director, the director of nursing, who was like, it's a transition period, just give it some time. If things don't change and then they aren't open to me working the women's unit, I think I'm just gonna quit. And figure it out from there, you know?
Hey, it's your prerogative, brother.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't blame you.
Yeah, it's like if I felt like I was getting a lot out of working the psychotic unit, because there is value there, right? Like being exposed to this kind of mental illness, you know? And that's one thing. If they just put me on like what was like going to be or what used to be C, and they were like, your new home unit is a psychotic one, that would be a lot, right? That'd be a lot to deal with, and it would probably wear me down. But I would know, okay, I'm dealing with the psychotic patients. You know what I mean? And there's a lot more grace there because no one ever took the structure and the programming that seriously because everyone's psychotic or deluded or hallucinating. So, how strict are you really going to be with the schedule when it's like everyone's in their own space? But now, because they combined it with these people who are lucid and do need help, like that can be provided through a group setting and like talk therapy, that situation. This expectation of structure and consistency is now there on this unit with all the psychotic people. And which makes it a lot more stressful because before it was like, yes, it's really hectic and crazy, but you're kind of just chilling, you know? Like your job is just making sure everyone stays alive, you know? And that shouldn't be the job now with all these people who need more care than staying alive, you know? And so it's one, just a more difficult job because of that added expectation. And then two, it just makes me sad all day where I'm like, we're hurting these people. Like, we're making them actively worse. And like, there's nothing I can do because, like, you could be like, well, I can go make that human connection with them and connect with them and try to build rapport, but there's 35 of them, you know? And so, like, maybe I can focus on, like, around 10 patients and like try to get to know them, but it's just too many people and too many moving parts to form any meaningful connections. Because all that like that was getting me through with how like stressful and hard the job has been so far was all the relationships, one with coworkers and two with the patients. And right now, that is deteriorating on both fronts because you can't really function as a cohesive team with your coworkers and you can't really get to know all the patients because it's just too chaotic. So like everything I found rewarding about the job has kind of been stripped away. And it's like, what is staying there going to do for me? I'm making $20 an hour. I could just go work at a cafe if I'm not going to get anything mental health related out of this, if I'm not going to like feel like I'm learning or making any kind of progression. All I'm doing is putting my like safety at risk for $20 an hour at this point and also contributing to worsening people's mental illness. It's like, why in what world is this like a scenario I should stay in?
You could work at Chili's with Wilson.
Legitimately, yeah. And probably be better off financially. Like, that's the thing. I'm not doing this job because, like, oh, the pay is so great. I'm doing it because it felt relevant to what I want to do. And if I'm not going to be allowed to operate in a capacity that still feels that way, like, there's just really little reason for me to stay. Like, it's. Yeah, that's where my head is at.
So
Sorry,
you're giving
guys.
it
I
two more
didn't.
weeks and you're calling it?
Well, I'm giving it 2 more weeks to see if the unit stabilizes, right? And if they're like actually going to get rid of the aggressive and psychotic patients, right? Like, if you're no longer going to provide that service, then stop admitting patients, right? And if they're saying it's going to take about 2 weeks for that to happen, okay, valid, right? But she said, let's reconvene in 2 weeks about me working the women's unit. So if at the 2 week period is up and my home unit is still C and nothing has changed, I'm going to then try to like maybe transition to the women's unit, and then I would stick around, you know? Or again, if I love the adolescent unit and that becomes my home unit, I would stick around. Like, there are possibilities where I do end up staying, like of C getting better, B being a possibility, and A, the kids unit being good and me being staffed on it, you know? So like there are different ways where this leads to me staying. But if it's like, let's wait 2 weeks to see if it gets better, it doesn't. And then they also aren't willing to be flexible with me. Like, again, what choice do I have?
I don't disagree. And also, yeah. I feel like it would only serve Boyle Boy for you to not work that job. So for selfish reasons, I say go for it.
True. I applied to an IOP program, an intensive outpatient, that has tech positions available out over like in the Bee Cave Road area, which I'm pretty excited about. And I really hope I hear back from them because it's like a step down in the level of care, but still a mental health tech position, which just sounds so nice. You know, like normally people will leave the hospital once they've stabilized and then enter IOP. And like, that's when the actual like healing process begins. And it's like intensive therapy where your full-time job for like 3 weeks is just going to therapy. And like, that's whenever you talk to a patient that's been through it, it's always like, yeah, the hospital was necessary, but then IOP is when like I was actually able to like make changes. So getting to work in that kind of level of care would be really cool and probably fulfilling. And it'd also probably be way less stressful. So I'm hoping something comes out of that. Otherwise, there just aren't that many jobs available. Like still, exactly how it was back when I was applying in the beginning of the year. Like, there aren't that many mental health jobs available. Like, there are other tech positions, but, like, one of the other ones is at Austin State Hospital, literally right by you, like, down the road from you. But I've heard nothing but horror stories because that's a mental hospital where the patients are there for life, you know? Like, that's where, like, the worst of the worst go. Like, who it's basically all been given up on, and you're just there because they can't keep you in prison. Because you're too psychotic, you know?
I love living next to that place.
Yeah, you're a walking distance from it. But, like, that place has a job opening. But at that point, I'm like, what? Is this a forward move or a lateral? I don't know. But I don't know. I just hope it all stabilizes where I'm currently at because I really don't want to leave. I really like all my coworkers so much. And I really liked what my job was, you know? Again, as stressful as it could be sometimes, as scary as it could be sometimes, it was very fulfilling. And this past week has been anything but fulfilling. So apologies for the venting of it all, but as you heard, I missed therapy, so...
Gotta get it out somewhere.
About it somewhere. Exactly. Precisely. Anything you need to talk about, Grayson, before we wrap up the episode?
Being married is pretty great.
That's good.
I'm thrilled about that.
What are your top 7 perks of being married?
I don't know, brother. I get to come home every day to a loving wife who cares about me.
Number two. Was that she cares about you, number two?
Sure.
Okay.
It's great company.
Whoopsh. We need four
She's
more.
She's hot.
Whoopsh. We need three more. You're not winning me over on this whole marriage thing. I need three more.
It makes it hard to leave in the morning.
Whoopsh. That doesn't sound like a perk.
Well, in a way it is.
I see what you mean, but we could rephrase it. Rephrase it, and I'll count it as one.
How do I rephrase that?
The mornings are just so good and fun, they make me not even want to leave.
There we go, that.
Two more.
Wait, that didn't get a whoopsh.
No, it got a whoopsh earlier when you phrased it poorly.
Oh,
I can do
okay.
another whoopsh.
Please. Thank
You
you.
talked over it. Let me do another whoopsh.
We get to do fun activities together.
Whoopsh.
By the way, the Leve concert was fire. Like, it was actually so good. I got to
Brandy
sit the
went.
whole time. Did
Brandy.
she enjoy it?
She left during Leve. She went primarily for Suki Waterhouse, but also she didn't pay for tickets. Her friend had someone drop out and just asked her day of, do you want to come? And so she got floor tickets day of, which was sick.
That is kind of crazy.
And yeah, they saw Suki Waterhouse and a little bit of Leve.
I miss most of Suki Waterhouse, to be totally real. Didn't care.
No.
I was there for Leve.
Understood. Understood. Well, I hear good things, though, about what she did see.
Yeah, no, I was air conditioned. I got to sit the whole time. I liked the music. It wasn't like overly intense.
You got to
People
sit the whole
generally stayed in
time?
their seats. Yeah, it was great.
Damn. At Lord, at the same venue, there was the option to sit, and it was a seat as well, same venue and all, but literally no one sat down the entire show. But maybe it's
Whole
a
show
different
was
energy.
basically sitting. Yeah. And I greatly appreciated that energy. That was nice.
I heard there was a lot of father-daughter duos at the show. That was Brandy's experience. Many a father-daughter duo there.
I saw a few, but not like enough to take note of, but also like I don't have a huge repertoire of concerts to compare it to. So maybe it was disproportionate relative to what you normally see, but like I can't really think of that many. Yeah, no.
Yeah. I mean, the number of bands or musicians that would have a large father-daughter demo are probably far and few between. You know what I mean? Like,
Maybe. I could see a big father-daughter duo at like a Taylor Swift concert, though.
yeah, I almost see that more as a mother-daughter duo.
Maybe.
Like, I see the father being kind of in the Leve.
You think?
I think so. She has like a that kind of sound where I wouldn't be surprised if someone's dad were into it. And not in a derogatory way. I don't think that's inherently bad. I listen to a ton of the music my dad listens to. Not that he likes Leve. Not that he dislikes her. I don't know if he knows who she is.
Oh, one experience I had is that no one knows who Leve is.
Bitch Noah?
No, no one.
Oh.
Not Noah, no one.
Okay, I was about to say, yeah, I could see Bitch Noah knowing her. What a weird thing to bring up. No one knows her.
Yeah, well, I was at work and like my coworkers would ask me, "Oh, what did you do over the weekend? Did you have a good weekend?" And I was like, "Yeah, it was a really great weekend. I went to a concert. Who'd you see?" "I saw Leve." "Who's that?" No one knows who she is.
But in that circle at GameStop, that's kind of what you would expect. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, if you went to a fucking cat, like, I bet you at Brandy's work, everyone knows who Leve is. It's a cafe at a Barnes and Noble. I think it's because you're
Maybe.
interacting with just not her demo. Not enough
But there's
dads there.
definitely some people
People.
who are her demo who work at GameStop, and it's like there were people I was shocked, like you've never even heard of her?
For her, it's tough too, because I bet people have, but they have no fucking clue it's pronounced Leve.
Well, then they would be like, "Well, how's it spelled?" And then I would spell it, and then they'd just be more confused.
Did you ask them if they have TikTok? Because if the answer is yes, they know her music.
Maybe I need to start trying that.
Yeah. Everyone knew Lorde, believe it or not. But that one was harder too. Like, I would get confusion, but because the musician's name is Lord. But once they realize you're not talking with any religious connotations, you mean the musician with an E at the end, then like it all clicks, you know?
Lorde has 29.2 million listeners on Spotify.
21 Pilots has more.
Leve has 25.1. So, like, basically the same amount.
Yes, but also Lord was a household name since 2013 into like 2016, which Leyva was never quite. Leyva does not have a royals, you know?
I don't know, man.
Has Leyva ever had a number one song? No. I'm saying that from not, I'm just making that up because I don't think it's true. She may very well have had a Billboard number one song, but I don't think it's true. Whereas
Probably not.
Lord did, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think Levy's great. I'm shocked so few people know who she is.
Yeah, like her sound is not necessarily one you're probably going to hear on. Not that the radio is the end all be all at this point, but it's not one that you're going to be at, I don't know, out and about and probably hear her playing. I just don't foresee that for her. Her voice just doesn't have that fit. Maybe at a Target. I could see them playing her at Target.
Yeah, definitely at a Target.
Yeah. But no, I think of her in the
Or
same
Barnes
little
and Noble.
box as Claro. Like it's Leyva and Claro, I think of as like the performative matcha. Satch, not satchel, fucking, what's that thing called? What's that bag called?
Clairo has fewer listeners than Leve.
Yeah, that's wild. I feel like Claro's more of a known name, but I probably know fewer
Clairo's
songs by
at
Claro.
18 million.
Oh, wow. And what's 21 Pilots at? Just for posterity?
Oh yeah, let me get that.
Oh, thank you,
Let
thank
me get that pulled up.
you.
Sorry, give me a sec.
Okay. Let's just take your time.
Almost there.
Okay. Remember when a guy ate
33 mil.
shit? Oh, 33 mil? Let's
Yeah.
go. Let's go. And they're staying on top, okay?
And also for posterity's sake, Olivia Rodrigo has 45 mil. 46 mil, sorry.
Well, she's not the number one album on Billboard right now. I bet she was when Sour came out, but
Yeah, I think both
and
of our albums
Guns.
have been number one at some point.
But 21 Pilots just got their second number one Billboard album in their entire career, okay?
So they're like two for what? Six? Two for
I mean,
six?
honestly, if you count their older stuff too before they were signed, it's even worse of a record. But I mean, good for them. They did it. They're
Was I
back on
correct with
top.
six?
I mean, we can count. They had their self-titled, they had regional at best, they had Vessel, they had Blurry Face, they had Trench, they had Scaled and Icy, they had Clancy, and now this is Breach. So this is their eighth album.
Oh.
Yeah. But we can
Well.
subtract two of them because they weren't with a record label. And then if we're just going with their album since they signed with Fueled by Ramen, you are correct with six.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I was in a sense correct with my
You're a
random
top
guess.
stan. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, guys, everyone go ahead and listen to the song Cottonwood on your way out. It's by 21 Pilots. It's about his grandpa who either killed himself or decided to enter hospice prematurely. And is that suicide? I'll let you be the judge, which is another 21 Pilots song you should check out right after. But that
Or
one's older.
alternatively, listen to From the Start by Leve and don't bother with all this weird moral quandary stuff. Just enjoy music.
I mean, Tyler's not like, I don't know about moral quandary. It's more like expressing his pain and his sadness around his grandpa dying. You know, it's actually so sad. One of my favorite songs by 21 Pilots is about his other grandpa dying. It's called Legend. And it's just such a happy, upbeat song. And like, it's so like touching. And this song is like, why'd you kill yourself? I know we didn't talk in a while and I'm sad. And I hope you know I don't resent you for doing it. Like the two grandpas got very different treatment post-mortem.
Kind of
So.
an L for that second grandpa.
He shouldn't have entered hospice or killed himself.
Then he could have been remembered as a legend.
Legend 2 could have been on this album instead.
Messed up.
Yeah, or maybe next album, because, well, ideally he'd still be alive. But.
True
Cottonwood,
that.
and what's the song you said?
From the start.
From the Start. Perfect. And then just end it all off with Ribs by Lord. And call it a day. Then you can go to sleep But you have technically not listened to this episode in full until you've listened to all those songs, Jordan. So get on top of that. Grayson, is there anything else before we ride off into the sunset?
No, my wife is almost home, so.
Okay. We had no Jordan update, to be clear, right?
Nope.
Okay. Well, thanks for the phone call to wake me up. I'm shocked it did. It's because my phone was so close to my face and it vibrated. So it worked.
Yeah, I honestly did not expect it to work.
It
I
never
fully
expected
for you to not pick up. And then I'd subsequently just go and do the work I was supposed to be doing at this time.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go edit the podcast. You go do that work. Until next time. Goodbye, everybody.
Adios.
The podcast.